At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, hello, dear hearts. I trust that you're having an empowering day. Welcome to a Biblical Perspective podcast where God's point of view is the only one that matters. I am your host, Prophet C.T. Johnson, excited to be back with you once again here on a Biblical Perspective podcast. We have been having empowering, enlightening, educating conversations, have we not? It has been a great, great journey. We're off to a wonderful start. Today makes episode four, and I want to say thank you to all of my podcast family whom have subscribed to our podcast via iTunes, CPN, Google Play, Amazon, and wherever you listen to podcasts. I thank you. I applaud you. I celebrate you. My family, my listeners, you have been subscribing. You have been rating the podcast, and I ask that you continue to do so. Please continue to subscribe. Of course, if you have not, and rate the podcast. I want to know what your thoughts are in regards to the conversations that we've had, in regards to the subject matters. I want to know your thoughts. Also, let me go ahead and remind you at the onset of our podcast today, I want to interact with you. And you can do that by following me on social media. You can follow me via Facebook at CT Johnson Ministries. You can also follow me at Instagram, CTJ Ministries, and on Twitter, CTJ Ministries. That way, you can literally interact, drop comments in regards to what is posted via our Facebook page. And every time a new episode is published, we are dropping podcast alerts, which will give you probably a 3 to 4 minute snippet of what the new podcast is all about. And so you can, in the comments via our Facebook page, again, CT Johnson Ministries, you can interact with me, comment, and I, yes, it is me, literally replying to your comments. So just want to encourage you to do that. And know that I do read your comments and I do respond. And you can also email me info@ctjohnson.org. If you have questions concerning a subject, if you have not only a question, but if you disagree with something that's said, a statement, of course, I preface everything that I teach here, that I say here on the podcast with the Word of God. For again, the Word of God is our frame of reference, but I am willing to have an intelligent dialogue with those of you whom can back up with facts and you can prove what your statement is. If you can validify your thought. Now, don't email me about foolishness and your opinion and what Big Mama said. I could care less. But if you have the ability to intellectually, I don't want to say debate, but intellectually discuss your disagreement, do so at info@ctjohnson.org. All right. Now, with that having been said, we have a very special podcast prepared for you on today. Remember, in our very first episode, when I was explaining to you what the Biblical Perspective podcast was all about, what to expect from us, I told you that at least once a month, we would have men and women from all over the country powerful, anointed, impactful men of women of God to come on the podcast to dialogue with us and to share with us as it pertains to whatever it is our subject is for that podcast. And today I'm excited to have our very first guest, Let's give God a praise. Yes, our very first guest on A Biblical Perspective is a dear, dear friend of mine. Not only is he a dear friend, but he is my best friend. We have been friends for over 23 years. And if I did not give you the actual amount of years, he would have said something. He probably still will say something. Normally, I just say we've been friends over 20 years. And when I say that, then he gets in his flesh and he ceases to let the Lord use him. And then he starts to say, well, it's been more than 20 years and all that good stuff. So 23 years we have been friends. He is a man of God, integral. He is a thinker. He is a great orator of the gospel. He's able to articulate it. He's able to explain it in a manner whereby you're able to ingest and digest the word of God. And so I'm going to give him a formal introduction, and then we're going to allow him to greet you. But he is, again, my dear friend, my best friend of over 23 years, Elder Philip Williams II. He is an ordained elder in the Church of the Lord Jesus with over 25 years of ministerial experience. He has pastored, he has established churches throughout the Atlanta area, South Carolina as well. And if I'm mistaken, he will correct me. But again, over 25 years of ministerial experience, he has traveled extensively throughout the length and breadth of this country, ministering and declaring the word of God, a prolific teacher, one that has the ability to practically teach biblical concepts whereby you're able to apply it and walk it out and walk therein. He has studied at Luther Rice Seminary and is currently working on his degree in psychology and Christian counseling with Liberty University. And he is the proud father of three children, my niece and nephews, Joshua, in this order, Joshua, Jonathan, and Jessica. So, A Biblical Perspective podcast family, let's give a round warm of applause to Elder Philip Williams. Yes, yes, yes. We're so excited to have you with us on today. Elder Williams, you now can speak. How are you, sir?
Hi, man. Let me tell you something. You started sharing, and I was looking around. I'm like, who are you talking about, man?
It is you. It is.
When you said the right amount of years, it threw me all off. So I see that the Lord has grown upon you. So
indeed.
But yes, we are in our 23rd season.
Indeed, we
that's
are.
That's what I like to refer to. 23rd as.
Season.
Man, I am just blessed to be here, man. And I just, you know, want to pause, man. Honor you and what you're doing here, man.
Bless you.
The platforms that the Lord has blessed you with and continue to open up, man. And I've just been blessed to been through this whole journey from where it started to see where you are today, man. So I want to applaud you, man, and honor you, and also just thank you for allowing me to share on the stage with you at this time, man. So God bless you, man. I love you and thank God for you.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate those kind words. Let's give myself a hand. I mean, since you took time to honor and to celebrate me, and I really am humbled by those words. But listeners, I want you to know that he does not celebrate me often, so I want to take advantage of this public this would celebration. All right. So now, Elder Williams and I, we are going to pull back just a little on the humor and the fun. This is just how we are when we get together, whether it's just to hang out or whether it is for ministry. We yet allow our personalities to shine through because this is how God has made us. We're just individuals that love God, of course, and we believe the scriptures that laughter does good like medicine. And so I want to encourage some of you who may be that individual that is always serious and you never take time to enjoy the life that Christ died to provide. You never take time to enjoy all that he has contained or placed within this life as we know it for our enjoyment. You're doing yourself a disservice. And so learn to laugh and enjoy family, friends, enjoy one another, enjoy Christ, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we're going to move into the heart of the matter in regards to today's podcast. And I am, again, so excited. I really am, as well as honored to have my dear friend Elder Williams with me on today. When I begin to think, contemplate, and pray about who would be the first guest, as it were, I couldn't think of anyone else other than Elder Williams to share with me in this historic moment of C.T. Johnson Ministries, whereby we have a national podcast here on CPN, iTunes, and on all the other platforms where podcasts are listened to. And so we're just grateful to God, but I'm excited to have him with me. So what are we discussing today, Johnson? Glad you asked. Elder Williams, we're going to deal with this notion of God first, family second, ministry third. That's right. I am sure that many of you have heard this statement. Many of you probably have used this as your mantra. Those of you whom are in ministry, pastors, evangelists, many of you, I at one point, and we'll turn it over to Elder Williams here in a second and see if he has a moment of confession, but I at one point used to ascribe to this ideology, this belief that it's God first, and who would have a problem with that unless you just don't have good sense with God being first, because he's God. He's the deity of deities. He is the creator of all creation. There is no other God above him, beside him. He is the creator of all things. He's God. He's Jehovah God. He's El Elyon, the Most High God. So no one in their right mind has an issue, of course, unless you're one of those that don't believe in the sovereignty of the God of the Bible, Jesus, then we are praying for you. However, most individuals don't have issue with God being first because, after all, he is God. But we have allowed over the years, really the century within, we've allowed over the years, over the course of decades, I guess that would be better to say it in that manner, to have our order reorganized. I'm going to let Elder Williams help me here, But I guess what I'm trying to say is that the church has, due to one, erroneous and errant teaching, we have adopted this mindset, this belief, this ideology that the order of God is, of course, Him first. And again, who has issue with that? But
hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Second, it's family, then ministry. How many of you have heard or have had it told to you or have said it to others? You don't put your family, or rather don't put your ministry before your family. You don't allow ministry to destroy the family, because after all, family was the first institution. Family was instituted before the church. True, that is true. Before the institution of church, family was there. Family preceded the institution of church. The institution of family preceded the institution of church. However, family does not precede the kingdom. Can we just understand that? Family does not, did not precede the kingdom. And so today, Elder Williams and I, we're going to help redirect you on the path called straight as it pertains to this notion, God first, family second, ministry third. Our subtopic, ministry versus assignment. And we're going to really unpack this and help you understand the difference between the two. Because in most cases, we use those words synonymously. We use them interchangeably, ministry and assignment. But there is a distinction in meaning between the two. So before I go further, Elder Williams, let's hear your thoughts on where we're going today. Now, we're not going to finish it all. We're just going to really scratch the surface. We're going to unpack it today, and we'll come back with a part two and do our best to put a nice bow on it. But Elder Williams, talk to us. What is your thoughts, your mind on this subject?
Well, in regards to what you're saying and in introductory manner, it's very important that we make that distinction and that we bring clarity to what we've heard and what we've been told. Mm-hmm. Because I think, and to the point of, you know, what are we guilty of? What are we guilty of buying into? And I think what happens is, and it's happening even in mainstream, in our mainstream world, is that, you know, we look at social media and how sometimes people post certain memes, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and the meme on its surface sounds great. It sounds correct. It sounds, you know, but if you sit there and really think about what was just said, then you start saying that's not totally true.
Right.
You know, that's not the proper context. That, you know, I get what you're trying to say, and it sounded really, you know, really good.
Right.
But the essence of it is where the problem is. And so I think this is where we are, that we say things, you know, in church language, mm-hmm. as it would be, And it sounds good, but because we don't add context and stuff, people walk away unbalanced in their understanding of the message that is trying to be conveyed, but it's not being conveyed in a way that causes us to truly grow as believers. And so this is one of those particular thing, as you alluded to in the conclusion of the introduction, of understanding the difference of an assignment and your ministry, and understanding that there's a difference in two things, as you alluded to earlier, when we talk about the family aspect of it, and saying that, you know, there was family before there was church, as right. it would be. Well, I submit to you that is true, but I will submit to you and say that before there was family, there was an assignment.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I think that, you know, Adam was here first. He was here alone, and he had an assignment.
Right.
That was given to him
before
God
wife,
said,
before
let
children.
Let me bring this in. Mm-hmm. Let me add this family dynamic, and in him doing so, and we'll talk about this in a minute. But you know, we talk about number two and number three, as we say, you know, family and ministry, and if we really look at it, we'll find out that there is not a 1, 2, 3. There's a 1 and a 2.
Wow. Hold on. There's the bell. There's the bell. That was good. Okay. Now let's hit the rewind button. Say that again. You said in regards to the order, God first, family, then ministry.
About God first and then right. family and then ministry. And we're saying 1, 2, 3.
Right.
But in essence of it, it's really, there is no three. There's a one and a two.
Okay, break that down for us.
Okay, because God is number one.
Right.
God is number one. But the problem is that in the church, what we've done is we have taken number two and number three when we talk about family and ministry, and mm-hmm. we have separated them when in fact, family is the extension of ministry.
Okay.
So when we're talking about it, it's really God and then this ministry. Because family is an extension of your ministry.
Okay.
And if you don't have an understanding of God dealing with your assignment mm-hmm. and then ministry dealing with your family, then you're going to have that problem of 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself unbalanced and unstable.
Wow. That's good.
Because it was never God's will for us to have to choose ministry right. or choose family.
That's good.
That is confusion, and God would not, he's not the author of confusion.
Right.
So if our ministry was so demanding, then God would not allow us to have a family that would become an interruption or distraction to the ministry. Mm. So what we have to understand is I have to change my perspective and understand that family is actually the extension of ministry. So now it becomes a question of balance.
All right.
So if I don't understand the balance of what I'm doing, and then I don't understand that the assignment never changes, but the ministry that is the tool in which the assignment is being processed through is where ministry comes at, along with the support of family to produce the balance.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. And I'll say this, and I'll pause.
Go ahead, because I have a question I want to bring up. Go ahead.
you know, it was so important. Why is that part so important? It's important because at this point, it's because I have children. I have a son, I have two sons. And so my
and a daughter.
Assignment.
And a daughter. You're not going to forget my
and
niece.
And my daughter.
Yeah.
But I have my son. But when I had my first son, this is why I want to make this point.
Okay.
You know, I named my son Joshua. And I named him that purposely.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understood that there will come a time where my assignment will end.
Wow.
As it pertains to me as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
But my ministry will still carry on.
Wow.
So family is the extension of that ministry.
That was profound.
Continuing to be carried on.
That was profound. That was profound. You said that in naming your eldest son, Joshua, you did that because you understood that your assignment would eventually come to an end as it pertains to what God has birthed you in the earth for, in alignment with his will, purpose, and plan. Mm-hmm. That eventually would come to an end, and that's for all of us. However, mm-hmm. your ministry, what God utilized you to establish in regards to ministry by way of your assignment, would continue through Joshua, which is an extension of you, as Joshua in the biblical sense was an extension of Moses. That was very profound. So I want you to just further build upon that, how in that instance or in that example, at the culmination of your assignment, your ministry, which your assignment birth would continue to a certain degree in your son, because we know, of course, he has his own assignment that is distinguished from yours, just as your fingerprints, even though he is your seed, yet he looks like you. He has some of your mannerisms. He has some of your behaviors, but he's yet his own individual. So just want you to elaborate on that a little bit, because that was very profound. And then I want to ask the question. I'll go ahead and just ask it now, and then you can expound and then go into explaining this question. How did we get here? We being the church, how did we get here where we literally have developed this doctrine that is being pushed and perpetuated throughout the church, that of course, God first, but then family, then ministry. And it has gotten to the point where people are literally told that they are not to sacrifice their family for the purpose and or sake of fulfilling their ministerial assignment. I'll put it like that. So it's in your hands now. The ball is in your court.
Going back to the first part of that, with my son, and I think that all of us need to understand that whatever God gives us, it will outlive us.
True.
Okay. If he gives you something,
if it truly came from God,
you,
right.
It will always outlive you. Right. It because it's not about you.
Right. It's generational.
It's bigger than you. Right.
Yeah.
So understanding that, you know, we also understood, you know, from the biblical point that whenever God got ready to do something in one person, he was already raising up someone else to succeed
mm-hmm.
as a successor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather we heard about that person immediately in the scripture or in the storyline, but somewhere along the line, God always would, at the same time that he was raising up one, he was raising up that successor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather it be Moses and Joshua, rather it be Elijah and Elisha, you know, so on and so forth. But he does that in a sense. So therefore, I understood, you know, that whatever he was calling me to do here, ministry-wise, that it would be something that would be passed on or inherited or picked up, you know, by that person, you know, talking about my son in this point,
mm-hmm.
you know, to bring him to that point. But then that does not mean that, you know, my ministry brings him to a point where he begins his own. So where my ministry will end with him is where he will pick up on his own. And so, because again, to your point, he has a lot of things like me, but he's still not me.
Right.
And so God will, you know, it's kind of like.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Saying that God gave me, you know, a CD, you know, but then he has an MP3 player or something, you know, something else, you know, there's no reason to go back, you know, to something, but he's giving him a different way to do the same thing and to move it on into a further point as he discovers what it is that God is calling him to do ministry wise. And then he begins to shift and move from there, mm-hmm. you know? So I, you know, and then what we also have to ascribe to as well, Prophet, here is that how in the process when that separation happens, we're also thinking about the influence that it will have on others outside of me and him that will be affected in a positive way to also begin to fulfill and walk in their ministries as well. You know, so I think, you know, because to your point, it is a generational thing, but it's also a corporate thing,
right?
That we have to look at as well when we're talking about these things. We've gotten so good at being individualists in the body, which is an oxymoron in and of itself. You know that we can be in a body, but yet we want to be individualists.
Right.
You know, at the same time, how did we get here? Well, there's a couple of things, but the premise of it goes back to doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that's number one. But from a personal experience, I will say that it's also from personal tragedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
And so I think that we need to also outline that.
Wow. So hold on. So
yeah.
You said part of the reason as to why or as to how we got here, where we're embracing this thought, this notion, God first, family second, ministry third, is because of the tragedies that many in ministry experienced, some in most cases at their own hand. The point I want to make here, and this is very good, very good. I trust that you all are learning and that you're gleaning and that you're being provoked to think, because that's what a biblical perspective is all about. It is to provoke us to thought from God's perspective, God's point of view, because another reason as to why we're in this situation whereby we are forfeiting God's assignment and forfeiting God's will for our lives because we don't want our family to feel neglected is because we have listened to opinions of individuals that rather we've listened to opinions that had no biblical premise. And we caused someone's idea, someone's experience to dictate unto us an action or we allowed their experience and their opinion to dictate unto us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. And we never took the time to ask God what his will was, what his intent was in regards to our lives. But my point is, back to what you said in regards to personal tragedy is one of the reasons as to how we got here with this notion. God first, family second, ministry third, is because those whom have experienced tragedy regarding their family, they were endeavoring to safeguard. They were endeavoring to help others not make the mistakes they made and or not make the decisions they made in which they feel caused their family to suffer. That sounds notable, and that is notable, but what we have to ask ourselves is, what was the root cause behind the tragedy? Because contrary to popular belief, all tragedy is not the result of a demonic satanic attack as though the devil just came after us simply because he is so intimidated and we're such a threat. No, some tragedies we experience, again, going back to what I said earlier, was due to our own rebellion, due to our own disobedience, due to our own bad decisions. I don't even want to say mistakes, but our bad decisions. And so let's further underline that point there, that those in ministry, those lead servants, those pastors developed this notion, again, for the sake of protecting their sons and or daughters in the ministry. They were endeavoring to help them, whereby they did not repeat their history. But again, I feel, and you tell me how you feel about it, I think even though the intentions were good, let's look at the outcomes. Good intentions does not automatically yield positive or beneficial outcomes. You can have good intentions and make a mess of things. You can have good intentions and manifest hell right. in somebody's life. And really, to a certain extent, that's what the church has done with this notion, because again, we have so embedded this lie in the minds of those in leadership, specifically within the church, to the point where people have literally told God no in regards to why he saved, delivered, cleaned them up. They told God no in regards to their assignment because they didn't want their family to suffer. So now you said no to God to save your family, but really have put yourself in a precarious position, as well as those whom have been assigned to your life, to your mantle, to your ministry, that God endeavored you to reach with the gospel, to reach with your gift, to reach with your ability. But because you were more concerned about your family than God's will, That to me is an exchange that I'm not willing to suffer the consequence of. Elder Williams, talk to us.
This is good what you're saying, and to echo to that, I will say this, that one thing is that some tragedy is really revelation. Okay.
All right.
The tragedy allowed revelation to come. Now, why am I saying that? Because here's the thing, you know, I say assignment, you know, is what you were born to do, you know, what you were born into this world to do. That's assignment, right?
And let me define it.
Ministry.
While you brought that up, keep your thought. But since you brought it up, assignment, because we didn't get into the definitions in the beginning. But real quick, I just want to define it for you, for our listeners. So assignment, an order, request, or directive. That's what an assignment is. An assignment is an order. It's a request. It's a directive. Now, that's different from ministry. Ministry, in essence, is a service and or a servant. Okay, ministry comes with a function and or an office as it pertains to your duties within the church. But I just want you to, our listeners, to make sure that you're flowing with us. And so in order for you to flow, I want you to have the understanding of the difference in the two. Again, assignment and order, request, directive. Ministry is a service and or function and or an office. So the definitions alone let us know the difference in weightiness, if I could say it like that, in regards to the two. So now go ahead, Elder Williams, finish your thought. I just wanted to drop that while you brought up assignment.
That's good. Yeah. So in those terms, understanding that, you know, again, assignment is what you are actually born in this world to do. And ministry is one of the vehicles that can be used in order to fulfill the assignment.
That's good.
Okay.
So we use ministry to carry out the order, right, to carry out the request, to carry out the directive.
But not in all cases.
Right.
And this is where we need to let the rubber hit the road. Because here's the thing. Assignment is God's agenda. Ministry is our agenda.
What you say? What you? Yes, sir. Say it again. That's good there.
Assignment is God's agenda.
Assignment is God's agenda.
Ministry is our agenda.
Ministry is our agenda. You get the bell again. My God.
Okay.
You're flowing tonight. You're flowing tonight. You must be wearing prayer. You must be wearing prayer and consecration before the podcast.
I have new earbuds now. I feel empowered.
You feel the power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But no, that's powerful. Say it one more time.
So I'm going to say it again. Assignment is God's agenda.
Wow.
Ministry is our agenda.
I love it.
Okay.
Teach that.
Now this is why we have so many people in ministry who were never called to be in ministry.
Okay.
See, because ministry is our agenda. So therefore I feel like I can, you know, I feel like I have to be in ministry to accomplish my assignment. No.
Right.
No.
That's not the case.
We have too many people that's in ministry thinking that being in ministry allows them to fulfill their assignment.
Right.
But what is actually happening is causing them to delay their assignment.
Wow.
See, here's the thing. You know, the deception of the devil is so powerful because even in the God first, family second, ministry third, or God first, ministry second, and family third. However you want to go with that. The fact that the enemy, what is two and three? Two and three is division.
Wow.
It has taken ministry and divided it and set it against each other.
You're talking good. Talking real good.
So who is the orchestrator of confusion? Who is the author of confusion?
Right.
Right? So what's happening is we have so many people who are in ministry who God has never called in ministry to fulfill the assignment, but believe that they need to be in ministry to complete an assignment. Turns out that they're actually delaying the assignment is because they're not in the place that they need to be in where their assignment can actually be fulfilled.
Right.
Now, having said all that, Christ's assignment was through ministry, but it was not his ministry. His assignment was not his ministry, but his assignment was through his ministry.
Wow. Now explain that. Yeah.
It was his assignment was not ministry, but his ministry was part of his assignment. Now, how can I prove that? I'll tell you very simply. If Jesus' assignment lasted 33 and a half years. But his ministry was only 3.5 years.
Wow.
Right? So with that being said, this is how we separate the two and understanding again that the assignment was through ministry, but it was not ministry, because if his assignment was ministry, he would have been in ministry his whole life.
He was only in ministry three years. Yeah.
He was only in ministry for those 3 years. So that's how we know, but he was in his assignment from the moment that he was born.
Right. That's good, sir. That's good. That's good. And I want to encourage you all. We have a few minutes and we're getting ready to wrap it up. But listen, I don't need you to become anxious. Elder Williams and I, we will be back for part two of this empowering teaching, because I know that you have been challenged. I know that many of you, some of you have been provoked. We pray to think and to take a deeper look, and that deeper look from the scriptural perspective and or standpoint, a deeper look into this notion of family first, rather God first, family second, then ministry. We're going to come back because we just don't have time to unpack it all on one podcast. But I want to encourage you all to make sure that you listen to this episode again so that you can fully grasp all that has been shared. And we're going to, on the next episode, on part two, we're going to break it down even the more, take you into the scriptures to further validify all that we have shared and all that we have brought out even on today. But Elder Williams, so as we get ready to wrap this up, assignment. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I lost my train of thought, but this is what I was endeavoring to say. As you have so profoundly brought out, there are many that unfortunately feel as though ministry is necessary in order for their assignment to be fulfilled. But what we want you to understand is that there are times when your assignment is separate from ministry, has nothing to do with ministry as it pertains to the church's definition or the church definition and or the church understanding of ministry, because your assignment can be to the entertainment arena, which has nothing to do with ministry in the sense of church jargon and church lingo. However, your sphere, your environment, or the environment and or the sphere in which you are to impact and infect for Jesus Christ could be that of entertainment, could be that of the arts, could be the medical field. But again, and I want you to, as we get ready to close, give dialogue to this. Ministry is not necessarily a prerequisite or a necessity for the fulfillment of your assignment. And that's what we have to understand, because I love how you said that. There are many that got into ministry without the call, without the proper training, and they jumped into ministry simply because some were told incorrectly and or some went off of feeling, they went off ambition or whatever they went off of. Many just went out of ignorance. They felt that the only way for me to fulfill this call of God, this assignment of God, I have to go into ministry. But we have to understand that there are other areas, environments, and spheres that we are to infect, seven mountains, as it were. God does not need us all in the four walls. He needs us in the systems of the world. Go ye into all the world and do what? Not become like the world, not conform. He said, and preach the gospel. But he sent us into all the world, into the systems of the world, so that we could impact it according to the assignment that he has given us. Elder Williams, give us your final thoughts, anything that you want to add in regards to what I just said as we get ready to bring it to a close on today. This was good.
I want to just add and just say, you know, referencing 1 Corinthians 7:17,
mm-hmm.
In regards to what we're talking about, just to make sure that we have some scripture here in this broadcast.
Because it is a biblical perspective.
For those saints and saying, well, you know, but
they didn't give
but
no scripture.
Says, but as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so I and all churches. And so another way that he's saying that is each one must live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to say that again. Each one must live his life in the situation the Lord assigned when God called him. And so that is why it's so important to understand the difference between assignment and ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this in closing, is that the Bible tells us clearly in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to be salt of this earth, right?
Right.
Well, I want to submit to you and those that are listening is that salt serves no purpose inside the shaker.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So you know, you can have it inside of, you know, on your table or whatever, and you want to season that meat in front of you or that steak or whatever, and you can, you know, you can look at it all day long, mm-hmm. and that salt will be in that shaker on your table, but its purpose is not to be in the shaker. Its purpose and its effectiveness,
right,
is only when it's outside of the shaker. So I'm saying to you, submitting to us, that to your point earlier of why we have to be mindful that we don't limit ourselves and what the enemy wants to do is keep us from fulfilling our assignment by us focusing on ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So here and what happens is we get stuck in the shaker.
Wow.
And so every Sunday, what do we have? We have a bunch of salt coming together in the shaker, and we're dancing, shouting, running, speaking in tongues, passing out, doing everything that we want to do amongst one another. And we have salt that's rubbing up against salt.
Right.
And yet we have a whole world around us dying.
Right.
You know, so our responsibility is to understand that ministry within the church is one thing, but our assignment goes beyond the four walls, beyond exactly. the shaker.
Exactly.
So that we maximize and be as impactful on our world globally. And so this is, and we'll talk about this, you know, in the next, you know, broadcast when God allows that to happen. But that speaks to what Jesus' assignment was, which we didn't talk about, but his assignment was to restore or the restoration of kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why this is so important that we tie this point into us coming out of the four walls and being impactful on a global level, because when we start thinking globally and corporately, then we start understanding kingdom.
Right.
And the kingdom assignment.
Right.
Because this goes right back to what I said. Christ, you know, as I said earlier, as a father, I started something and then I'm leaving it for my children. Christ started something.
Mm-hmm.
And he left it for his children after his death.
Right.
And so it is up to us to understand that assignment and then to globalize it, to make it kingdom-wide. But we can't do that if we reduce his assignment given to us down to ministry level.
Wow. That was powerful. This entire podcast today has been powerful. And I know that you, our listeners, have been blessed. And of course you have been, what's my word? Empowered. Elder Williams said something so powerful, and we'll pick it up next podcast when we go deeper in this. He said that as long as salt is in the container, it is not beneficial. There's no benefit to salt as long as it's contained. But when the salt leaves the shaker and it's placed upon the meat to either season it, to give it flavor, or to preserve it. And that's our assignment as the elect of God. We are to preserve what God has created as well as give it flavor, whereby when the world partakes, they taste and see the words of David that the Lord is good. Well, I'm telling you, I know again that you have been empowered on today's broadcast, podcast, all of the cast. And of course, we are grateful to our guest, our very first guest here on A Biblical Perspective, our very first guest, my dear friend, my best friend of 23 years, Elder Philip Williams II, did such a phenomenal job in dialoguing with me and helping me to unpack revelational truth in regards to the subject that we are going to continue to deal with in our next podcast. God first, family second, ministry third, our subtopic, ministry versus assignment. Listen, I thank you so much for listening to A Biblical Perspective with yours truly, Prophecy T. Johnson. If you enjoyed today's episode, express it by rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. And of course, subscribe wherever you listen. Make sure that you subscribe and you rate the podcast. Your review helps the show reach more people and impact lives with the empowering, enlightening, and educating word of Jesus Christ. Also, don't forget to follow and connect with me on social media via Facebook at CT Johnson Ministries International, Instagram and Twitter at CT Johnson Ministries, and subscribe to my YouTube channel as well, CT Johnson Ministries. For more information or to connect with the ministry, Visit the website at ctjohnson.org. Until our next podcast, this is Prophet Johnson. Know that I love you. Be empowered.